Good afternoon, folks. You are listening to 94.5 FM on your dial, WMRWLP, broadcasting live out of Warren, Vermont. And if you are listening live today on March 17th, St. Patty's Day, 2024, then you are hearing a live show. And if you are listening at another time, then it's just been pre-recorded, but it's just as good. Because when things are great, right, you got to repeat them often. Or important, I guess I should say, and great. And I have a guest here in the studio with me today. I have Theo Talcott.
How do you do, folks?
Oh, here, let me, I'm going to put your, put your things on. We might as well bring you right on up to the mic here.
How do you do? How do you do, folks? Theo Talcott chiming in here. Manchester, Vermont resident and friend of community radio. I used to do this back in the school days. And I'm in the medical health freedom movement in Vermont. And my ally here has been presenting. We've been on meetings together, so I thought I'd come and chime in here.
Fantastical. Yeah, so and here's a table for that if you want. Okay. Yeah, we can't. We
got it.
Yeah, thank you.
And don't spill the coffee on the board. Right, rule number one.
Rule number one, right. Yes, thank you for coming. And this is the 5-8 show, health, happiness, harmony, humor, and humanity. And Theo does have a great sense of humor. So I know we're going to have fun here too today. But we also have some really cool subjects to cover. We were sort of reviewing this morning on the phone all the great things that we could talk about.
Yeah, we're going to go far. And we'll try and be funny every episodically with mixing it in with some serious topics, because there's funny stuff to discuss and serious topics. Starting with I would never thought I'd be quoting Ronald Reagan to begin an episode of this kind of, but he famously said the 8 scariest words in the English language were, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help.
Those are the ba-dum-bum. Good job. The scariest words you could ever hear in the English language. I'm the government and I'm here to help.
Well, there's 10 words. All right. We've already blown it, but you got the intention. It's something like that. It turns out to be true, and nothing could be more true than the pandemic, the masking, the mandatory injections that everyone was obliged to get from hook and crook. None of that's constitutional. None of that's within the rights that are as citizens of a republic. And there's a huge effort to bring accountability on that. And I'm in the weeds in that. I've been reading a lot about it. And I just think it's really important. We got to have accountability. We got to look back. We can't just be like, whatever. It's in the past. You know, if we don't resolve what they did to us there, they're going to do it twice as much next time. And with the same plan. So everyone should, you know, be a patriot, take the white pill, don't give up.
Ooh, the white pill. So what's your journey, Ben? I know you've done some lobbying in the past and things like that, but you didn't start out on the health freedom track per se, right?
I would say, like, before the pandemic, I was more a solid liberal progressive, and I still identify with a lot of those values. It was really painful for me to realize how a lot of things I just took for granted, you can't lean back on, you know? It's not really what we think we've been presented.
There's some doublespeak going on, sort of?
Well, like, if the idea that government gets bigger, it's going to help you. Like, the classic left thing, progressivism, socialism, communism, the bigger we get the system, the more we'll be able to take care of the people, and like everyone will get better, which is still a good ideal. We do want like everyone to do well. However, like the government always just takes all the power for itself and then does whatever the rich want. So it's not like you get the thing at the end. They just trick you into like So I'm really more libertarian now. We got to like limited government under the law, and that'd be nice if we had that. That would
that'd be a good start to things, right?
Good jumping off point. These are aspirations, really. You know, at this point,
ideals. Well, that's what our country was founded on.
So I have like two news stories to report. For one, the military people are bringing there's a militaryaccountability.org. There's like a petition of like 20,000 active duty soldiers signed it, and it's calling for accountability on the vaccines within the military, within the sort of military system. So they started a military tribunal process on January 1st. They were sort of sly, but it was sort of like a few good men, like that sort of internal military court system. And they're charging like General Milley with like, treason and unwilling experimentation and, trying to hold them to account. So that's one place where people are using the legal system to try and get some remedy. And another place is a woman named Brooke Jackson who sued. She's like a pharmaceutical executive, and she sued Pfizer. And the Department of Justice just put out a response to the court asking them to throw it out, saying like the Department of Justice because it's in the national interest of America to vaccinate. If we did something wrong, forget about it. It's like
intentions. Intentions are all that count, and not the actual results, or what laws were broken, or anything.
Right,
or
and we don't need to go back and look. We definitely don't need to go back and look. So the politicization of the Justice Department by the Biden administration has been pretty shameful. It's this article here. Mm. Motion to dismiss.
Oh, yeah, they'll just right. The tricky part is they have built this sort of skeleton of excuses in the law, you know, that they can rely on in these times. Now we can see kind of why they had laid these tracks and how long this planning took.
Right, and they're really trying to protect themselves from something that's pretty obviously a crime. I mean, the Nuremberg Code was like, you can't experiment on people, point blank. And they didn't do the proper studies. It turns out like all the data that underlied the COVID vaccines was like, pshaw. None of it adds up.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a hard subject. A lot of folks are really trying hard to avoid that subject for a number of reasons. So just having that conversation.
Yeah, and say you're riding in your car and you're listening to us. Oh, geez, they're talking about this. I would say, don't worry if you're still alive. That's good. You may be vaccine injured and don't know it. So, there are resources available. Some people, if you didn't experience a problem right away, that's usually good. But you should know there's people are being vaccine injured all over the country. There's turbo cancers happening. There's like these strange blood clotting issues. There's also, it just goes on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece of it. But about a pretty exciting book to talk about called The Indoctrinated Brain.
Okay. And just to jump in there, that I think it's really the biggest piece of proof, I think, that something not good or not intended happened with the vaccines is the fact that they've backpedaled on the requirements. So for a while it was teachers. I know teachers and people working in schools who got vaccinated because they thought they were going to lose their jobs. And that was the message given out, whether it was, insinuated or blatantly said. It was, depending on where you heard it from your coworkers or whatever. But the message was so loud and clear that many people got vaccinated in healthcare and teaching and other professions to keep their jobs or keep going to school. And then wham, the next year, we're just dropping those requirements and we're not going to talk anymore about it. So why did they drop them, right? So we do need to have this conversation because there was definitely a big change of mind.
Oh, yeah. People were definitely coerced. You would either lose your job or... the social pressure was intense.
Can't see your relatives.
That for me, that was like a real lesson for me about how the progressive left is a little bit
ride or die. You know, you're all in or you're no place. Because I was like, I was pretty, you know, on the team, you know. And then I got COVID, and so I had natural immunity. I read up on that. I was like, I got the T cells. I'm not gonna get the injection. So, and I couldn't believe how I felt like I was voted off the island, like
like Survivor. Like, yeah, exactly.
Just like, oh, you've got this one sin. You got all the rest of your cookies are in a row, but oh,
you recycle. Bad guy. You did, you know. You ride your bike. You know.
I haven't peeled my Bernie Sanders sticker off my car yet. I've covered it up with a Kennedy, so now it says B. Kennedy.
Oh, oh, great. So you pulled out this great book that kind of explains sort of how we ended up where we were.
Sure. So this is a new book called The Indoctrinated Brain by Michael Nels. The foreword is by Naomi Wolf. And the subtitle is How to Successfully Fend Off the Global Attack on Your Mental Freedom. And Mike Adams from Natural News recommended this for the book of the year. I recommend it too on that regard. I think it's a complete aha in a gestalt of like what happened during that time. And it's not, none of us are to be blamed for where we are. This is like, it was a huge, well-organized attack on civil society. And he has a chapter in here where he describes what they learned when they, at the end of the Korean War, they got prisoners back who had been brainwashed to, you know, be communists, and they like were supposed to like be turned back to the Americans, and at the last minute, these guys like turned back and were like, the Soviets will unite the world and like walk back. They couldn't believe it. Like, how did they turn our soldiers? So they studied what happened to the other soldiers who did, had come back. And it turns out if you do a certain number of things to people, you can get them to be more flexible. So if you're like not feeding them well, you're giving them a lot of loneliness, isolation, if you're enforcement of trivial demands, what are the others? These are things that if you do to people, they're easier to push around. And they did this to us. And this explains why, like, a lot of the... So even if the 6 foot stay apart by 6 feet doesn't make any sense, it makes sense in this terms of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an enforcement of a trivial demand. Like, how did we go from a place where America, where we follow the law, but we're doing science, and we're, like, living our lives, and we're free, to, like, all of a sudden, we're obeying this giant... like totalitarian mind.
Mm-hmm, with the stickers on the floors and the grocery stores and the one way up the aisles. I mean.
Awful.
Yeah. It was like an abusive relationship.
It was like just being poisoned. Like you've eaten a bad drug or something. You just got to like wait, go lay down until it wears off.
I know. Every morning I woke up and
somebody
went, oh my
roofied
God.
Me at that party. Oh my God, what happened? It's happening to me. So, you know, it's hard to, most people don't want to be that conspiratorial and be like, oh, you know, they or some of these forces are willing to do this to us. But, you know, I would say be a grown up, you know. It's, you know, the world is not run by angels at the moment. So we, there's a lot of money to be made and they want to control the world. So we the people, we the citizenry, we deserve to be in charge. It's our country, and we're not going to be run by the World Health Organization and the New World Order. You know, that's what we're talking about. Who wants to run the world? They got names. They're after it. They're doing it. It's late in the day on this subject of where it's at. But the Great Awakening is on, and people are waking up to it. So I encourage you to do it too. Wake up. Be part of the. The Great Awakening to, and you know, I think a change is coming. Like they can't, either they're going to in the next year come forward and really push their agenda, or we're going to like swoop in and drive them back. And
It's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs.
That's why we're hustling.
Yeah, the fight is joined.
Yes, rally the troops. That's why I was celebrating George Washington. The more I learned about him, the more I was like, yes, you know, like rally the troops. In a hopeless situation. He had a hopeless situation. Talk about a hopeless situation, you know.
Right, he did. And he had some moments of just sort of like just courage. He led a small group forward to win his some of his struggles, and so it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know I do like to relate them to abusive tactics because, you know, I mean, just like when you fall in love and you think, oh, this person is the greatest, they'd never hurt me, you know, and they have my best intentions in heart. And sometimes we have to learn that not everybody does. Or even if they do, they're not going about it in a safe or healthy way. And we have to have boundaries, and that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Right, that's good. That's a good way to describe it. And we should, you know, ask, like, what do people take when they give us something? They give us, like, we're relieved to have authority over us to feel, like, safe. But, oh, you're providing me safety. How are you doing that? Safe from an invisible virus I can't see that. Safe from terrorists abroad. Safe from, I mean, one of the points they make is you try to be less afraid. Don't be so fearful. But if you see the media trying to make you afraid, just be aware that that's part of it. Like, when you're afraid, you're easier to push around. If you're, like, reptilian hindbrain is active, if you're in your frontal lobe, if you're in your heart, if you're in your soul, you're solid. But if you're fearful, you're easy to push around. So one of the things the book points this, the indoctrinated brain makes is, like, why is it that at 11 o'clock at night they feed you all this fear porn right before bed? Well, it turns out you are pretty...
Meaning like the evening news for people.
Yeah, like the evening news, a little bit of weather and a couple stabbings in Albany. You know.
Now feel safe as you go to sleep.
Yeah, sweet dreams, little puppy. Yeah, because it makes you, it consolidates in your lower brain. It makes you feel like the world's less safe, and then you need government more. And whereas largely you need government less. Government's better done in small scale locally. Like, we really don't need giant, like, elaborate government abroad. Like, the World Health Organization in Geneva, they're not helping.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on our side.
Yeah, so it's these top-down decisions and powers that are creeping into, like, a web, into every part of our lives.
Every little thing. And, like, the world they would like to envision, I mean, they actually have these plans on the table. Like, they have had the chip inside your hand for the, like, your wallet is in your hand, the Mark of the Beast style, for dozens of years. A little chip in there, and they would like to have rolled that out already. But people are afraid of that and have seen the prophecies and are, like, concerned that we're heading into this, like, dystopic future. And I think they very much would like to bring us there. So our job should be to say, no way, man. We're keeping our rights. We're going from here to the spaceships, like, with our dignity. You know, you can't just, like, Boba Fett us. You can't just turn us into, like, a slave race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And with that that lack of faith, I think, is the difference between fear and courage, right? Because we might still feel fear, but be courageous at the same time. And so, but that's faith, and they try to strip that from us all the time.
Right.
You know.
That's why there seems to be a little bit of a coordinated attack on the religions, too.
Like, yeah.
They're not interested in us having faith and religion and power.
Right.
And
a direct connection with Source, with our ultimate purpose.
Yeah. If you have God inside your heart, you're not easy to push around. Like, you know, this is where we're coming on Easter, but the Christian gospel would say, you know, God is in you. You are not a slave or a slug or a worm. You're a human being. The Creator's in you. You're valuable just the way you are. And, you know, to bring it back to the American experiment, like, it's important. That's in our documents. Like, it's our American law is an advancement on the European law because it was charged up by the gospel. It says the Creator gave you these rights. You have them already. They're inalienable. You can't get rid of them. You're like a sovereign citizen, and you have these rights. And government is made to protect them and ensure them. But the government doesn't give you these rights. You have them. And it's because we're in the Creator's universe. So that's a powerful little addition. And, you know, you might say, oh, well, that's Christian. It's like putting too much on it. But I don't know. That's just my take on it. I heard that from Mariana Williamson. We should cite her. She's like I've heard other people say that too, but I do feel like there's a power there. And that's why, like, other people, like Peter Bragan says, like, part of what's going on is an assault on the West and on democratic society, because that's also not in the interest of the elite ruling class. Like, they're not interested in an awake public that wants to discuss politics and wants to be involved. That is, like, it would be easier for them to control us if we were all just, like, content and oppressed.
Right. Yeah, we had a student on a few weeks ago, she had just graduated, actually, from UVM, Lauren Palmer, who helped write the Student Declaration 2023, if people want to look that up, studentdeclaration2023.org. And she was describing her experience as a college student during those COVID years and how her background and what she was studying was ancient Greece and philosophy, Greek philosophy, and just how, like, far away from just debate and discourse and just the basic foundations of Western thought, you know, which I had never appreciated all those things. I had never appreciated patriotism. None of that really meant that much to me. I was kind of taught that, like, oh, Western civilization, it's something to be almost ashamed of, right? And so coming back to these ideals, not that anyone's perfect, you know, or anything is perfect. These were ideas of their time, and they were imperfect in their time. Like, George Washington was a slave owner. There are not great things. You know, he was unfair in a lot of ways. But for his time, right, we have to take all of our imperfections. We are perfect for our time period and the place that we are.
Right. Right. It's a work in progress. Mm-hmm. And the same forces have been fighting it out for a long time. I mean, I just was reading about how the banks sided with the South during the Civil War. A lot of, like, the investment, some of the same forces that are at play now were trying to divide America up back then. And I also used to, like, can feel like you got to kind of reclaim this language, and we've been taught to sort of like, oh, this isn't helpful, but we can integrate it with our, like, our quest for, like, social and racial justice and fairness and all that, because it's the gradual extension of rights. We would like everyone to have the amount of rights that you have if you're a landowner and a white guy. Right. I mean, that's how the country started. Who could vote? Well, we extend the circle, and gradually more and more people get rights until we can protect them for everybody. And
Yeah, that's our goal. And it's still the same values. So I'm talking here today with Theo Talcott, who came here today from where again? Where
did you? Manchester, Vermont.
Manchester. Cool. How long did it take to get here from there?
That's about 2 hours up Route 100.
Wow. Thank you so much. See, folks, this is what people are willing to do for free speech, for those Bill of Rights.
That's right.
And the protection of them.
Here's another little piece of news. Tomorrow, in front of the Supreme Court in D.C., there's a big protest for free speech, protest against the TikTok ban, and to bring attention to a court case around the way the big media companies conspired to keep all the other voices, like what some of the people you're listening to here, off the air. Like, if this feels like, you know, this is not what you're going to hear on the legacy media, and that's not by accident, because they conspired to do that through, like, some, I think the organization was, like, Fairness and Accuracy in Media. They all contributed to this one thing, so there's a case going to the Supreme Court that this is racketeering. So anyway, if you stream it on Twitter or Children's Self Defense tomorrow at 9 to 2, people like Jeffrey Tucker from the Brownstone Institute, which is a really useful source for news, and Mr. Kennedy, in good news, we have a presidential champion this year. Robert Kennedy Jr. is running for office, and people should get behind it, because the duopoly doesn't want it. They couldn't be less interested in you knowing about it. I mean, the Tina thing, there is no alternative but to vote for Biden, because he's a little bit better than Trump. That is the absolute message of all the elite media. And we say that's ridiculous. For one, Mr. Kennedy is going to be on the ballot. We're going to seeking ballot access here in Vermont. People should check out his campaign. Because he's like the only one who's really going to look backwards and try and sort some of this stuff out. Children's Health Defense has been way ahead in presenting information on vaccine injury and what's really going on with a whole host of social justice issues. Mr. Kennedy was an environmental lawyer, and you know, he eventually created this organization to say, look, all these chronic diseases come from certain places, which is like, you know, autism, asthma, a lot of it's related to vaccine injury. And you can trace it straight back to 1986 when they took away the liability for the companies. So
you can't sue.
You can't
over
sue.
Over vaccine injuries. Right. So they can get away with.
Get away with whatever.
Ultimate power corrupts ultimately, right?
Right. So it's a dark day, but the fight is joined, and I think the rule of law will eventually snap back, and we're going to have like some accountability and a reckoning, and I think that's what we have to bank on.
And this case tomorrow, this is one that Kennedy, right, filed. Is this?
I think he's one of the
plaintiffs.
Plaintiffs, yeah.
Yeah, for having his free speech curtailed. And lots of people, including me and you. We had our free speech curtailed.
I used to post my videos on YouTube. I made a video from the Defeat the Mandates March, and they wouldn't show it on my local cable access TV station. So, you know, it's not a big deal in the terms of the world. I'm not. But for me, it was a sort of a setback. Okay. And what, I mentioned vaccines on a rally about defeating the mandates, that's verboten. I mean, what does that say about our country that we're here? It's a very different country than the beginning of the mandates, and we have to recognize that. It's not like the year's 2024. We're like a few years into a really big change in this society, and it needs to be addressed why and who wanted this and who benefited.
Mm-hmm.
And people made so much money on it. Like, while you were huddling at home and living in poverty and not able to see your grandmother die, all those people who suffered so much. I mean, I think there was a big, like, class sort of, like, people, if you're wealthy and you're, like, at home or you're retired, you're in the laptop class, you might not even have noticed that the pandemic was horrible for working people.
Yeah.
But if you were in the service industry and you had to wear a mask all day long, or, you know, a lot of people really, really suffered. And Vermont had it really bad. Like, the religion was strong here. People did lockdown serious. But other parts of the world didn't lock down at all. You could go to another state and they weren't locked down. It was more where the Democrats were in charge. And it was a live, real-time experiment, and like North Dakota locked down and South Dakota didn't, and you had almost an equal like spreading. Like it was like
no difference.
It didn't slow the curve.
No,
the curve was not slowed by you staying at home. That's another thing. Like we're going to slow the curve for the next 14 days. Okay, we're going to do it for another month and a half. Or we're going to do it for another 2 years. What the front door?
Yeah. Exactly. I know, and we need to have that conversation. And that is, it seems like, the elephant in the room that is, that's the nut we're trying to crack, is to just get people to come to the table and just have that conversation, really look at the facts of the matter and weigh it. Because otherwise, it's like after 9/11, all those rules and policies that came in, you know, in the war on terror, including airport security, which is such a scam. If you just pay enough money, they'll let you walk right through. It's a matter of paying enough money. That's all. I mean, talk about classism and things. And so we those all lingered, and now we're in another phase of the same infringement of our rights.
Right. Sort of just slowly moving the goalposts, making the country less free. Got to take your shoes off. I mean, and so a reckoning is needed. And so, like, for the state of Vermont, like, there's some bills up in front of the state house, and like at least one of them says like the state of Vermont shouldn't force anyone to get a vaccine or a health measure.
Or coerce.
Coerce.
I love having that word in that bill. That's House Bill 182, if folks are interested.
House Bill 182. And it would be great if you wanted to write your representatives about that. And maybe a little later we'll find their number. That another thing the state, how state could do is, like, think about accountability. Like, the state of Vermont is really concerned about its money because it doesn't raise a lot of money. It's only, think how much money they lost in tourism. Think how much money the hospitals paid. Think how much they paid out to people who couldn't work. All of that should be reimbursed by the vaccine industry or whoever profited. And so at the very least, they should be more fiscally responsible and assess. We're just asking, can you do your homework? Can you do an accounting? Can you do an audit? What did it cost the state of Vermont, this lockdown pandemic thing? I think that's the ask, because honestly, I mean, you think the Democratic controlled majority in the state house is going to pass a bill that does, like, vaccine no choice, pro-choice? We're pro-choice not if. Anyway,
That's an interesting conversation. Just to interject, early on, I wrote an open letter that I included in it Randy Brock, who was our auditor, and he's all for those auditing of the numbers, the money, like how much did this cost? And I wrote this open letter early on in 2020 or 2021, saying let's do an audit. Come on, let's come to the table, because that is what needs to happen. And you bring up an interesting point about body autonomy, which used to be something I thought, like, liberals were in favor of because of the stance on reproductive rights and things like that. In that bill, that does seem like a really good bill, Bill 182, House Bill 182, that would lay out, you know, no more forcing or coercing of any medical interventions would be allowed. I guess what the bill allows is to be able to sue if it happens. So it actually gives us a way to bring it to court and have a fair day in court and all of that and due process.
And but that's enough to protect us, honestly. Mm-hmm. That would scare the pants off the...
anybody. Because right now hospitals and doctor's office, everybody's still using these tools to manipulate.
To get away. So that's great. So people should support House 182. And,
but it has interesting language that I'd love to tease apart more, because this is going to come up. It not only says that you have the right to refuse those medical interventions, any medical interventions, but also that you have the right to accept.
That's
so
right.
There's a coming to the table, right? I see this great opportunity, like when we were talking about, what was it, Amendment 22 that had to do with reproductive rights a year ago. Vermonters voted to add a constitutional amendment to our Vermont Constitution that's had to do with bodily autonomy, but it's worded so strangely that it was hard for any league, even the ACLU we had on the show, and they could not explain what this law really was legalizing, actually.
Boy.
So there's a big thing that opens there when you allow people to also consent to medical interventions. And so what I love about this bill, 182, is it's a conversation. Like, let's have this conversation. We need to have this conversation honestly.
Yeah, and, you know, it is good and wholesome and useful to be writing your senators and representatives in Vermont. They do get little pink notes that come in their mailboxes, and so you should feel free to get the House number there and speak your mind. I want to speak out in behalf of another bill that's been read in, which is called Defend the Guard.
Mm-hmm. Tell us more
and,
about that.
Like, defending the Vermont National Guard by saying they won't deploy overseas unless there's a declaration of war. And that's because the National Guard broadly ends up serving the military and covering a lot of ground. So they're supposed to be here doing work in Vermont. That's their job, their mandate. And they're generally not doing that. They're generally bearing the brunt of the foreign wars, the forever wars. So check that out. There's that's been led by the Vermont Libertarian Party, who's really been revitalized lately. I always thought the Libertarian Party was a little stodgy and just trying to cut our Social Security, but they recently got revitalized by this group called the Mises Caucus, which is a bunch of, like, pretty young people. They're kind of like the people who wanted to take over the Democratic Party among the Bernie Sanders movement. They were like the young and the computer literate and wanting to play. So they basically did Angela, I can't remember her last name, but the leader of the LP and the National Party is cool. So I encourage you, if you're going to vote this fall, there is good stuff to vote for. Mr. Kennedy, the Libertarian Party. I'm a part of the People's Party, of the effort to make a third party that doesn't take corporate money, that came out of the wreckage of the Bernie Sanders campaign. And some of our folks are now working for the Kennedy campaign. He started a We the People party in California, which is exciting. Seems like a thematic, but it's not really connected to what we were doing. Although somewhat, because we've been in that space of like, how did we get some representation here? You know, like, maybe you guys remember Howard Dean. That was like the first time we had a taste that we could maybe break in and, you know, take the duopoly on and don't have to live under the neocons. And then I think Jesse Ventura had that spirit. And then, of course, Bernie was, you know, the house caught on fire, and we almost had it. I mean, I think we almost had the brass ring twice, but they snookered us out of it. And then Trump got in on kind of the same energy in some regards, like the insurgency against the establishment. I mean, his defeat of the establishment Republicans was a beautiful thing to behold. I mean, the way he like defeated the whole line of contenders was. It was charming, really. I mean, but now we've had 4 years of it. I don't really want to go back. I mean, that's one thing that's neither Biden nor Trump want to look backwards on the vaccines.
Mm-hmm. No.
Trump just issued a tweet saying like, oh, you know, my beautiful mRNA vaccines, we warp speed them through. And
my beautiful.
Like, holy moly, man. Can't you just have some, like, be apologetic about one thing? You got one, there's something wrong. Okay, they ripped you off. Just come out. You got tricked. But you're going to be like, oh, this was good all this way? So anyway, the only way we're going to get any reckoning is if we get Mr. Kennedy elected, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. In your opinion, yeah. Cool. And so what's Kennedy kind of... He's working on this free speech thing. I think that's pretty exciting if folks want to catch that tomorrow.
Yeah, Children's Health Defense, Kennedy 24. There's a ballot access effort going on across the country, and they're going to be collecting signatures in Vermont as soon as he announces his VP. But he looks like he's on track to be on the ballot. And so there will be an alternative in the fall.
They're definitely, I love that there is this awakening happening. Everybody seems to be looking for something along those lines. It's a great time to be connecting with folks and finding ways to connect. Like, I really like the guard issue and the anti-war issue. About a year and a half ago, there was this amazing connection. I think it was partly the Libertarian Party helped pull this together, was getting the liberals and the conservatives in the same room to talk about peace. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was when the war, Ukraine, and then we were diving in with Israel. And so peace should be a unifying subject, I would hope, right? I mean, I cannot believe we're here in the middle of another how many wars again.
Mm.
It's a tragedy.
It's terrible. Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made, and you know, on the positive side, I think there's a new world waiting to be born, like the BRICS countries, and like a world of like post Anglo-American domination. You know, the Wall Street Empire. You know, people are really sick of it. They're sick of being pushed around by the West and its economic system, and so a lot of the rest of the world is moving along. I mean, the BRICS countries. Which is like Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They've created this economic union that is looking to do like trade commodities and make like a cryptocurrency. And it's a whole other like economic model. It sort of like grows out of like some of the post-colonial work in other earlier eras. But But broadly, the West didn't develop the world. There's like a famous book, like how Europe underdeveloped Africa. But they did that everywhere. They basically, like, you come in, you take over with your boats on the coasts. You kind of control what you can inland, and you squeeze off the trade, like Gibraltar and other points, and you can minimize trade flow. It's so funny about the British is they're like, they pretend to be so fancy, but they're like really pirates.
Yes.
It's like the worst pirate class of all time, you know, just rum runners.
Right. Yeah, well, that's interesting, though, how you know, controlling the trade. It really comes down to that. I was interested. Sorry, I keep bringing it back to George Washington, but I've been studying, into him, and I just find it interesting that his approach, and that this was a big part of the conversation at the time, was opening trade, and that building this country as a commercial enterprise was the goal. See, I didn't realize. I thought that was just sort of a neat side effect or whatever, but I didn't understand that was actually part of that. When we have this free trade and we don't have these alliances, and then we're tricked into going to wars to defend our friends and all this stuff and get stuck into all these sticky wickets, that to stay free of all that was to just, you know, be to trade, to really focus on your economy and prospering off the abundance. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Right. I mean, I would say, like, as an environmentalist for a long time, I was sort of like anti, like, development. Like, oh, let's just stay in like humble, green, Gandhian poverty, and, you know, just don't burn anything, don't move, don't have any kids, don't throw anything out. And it's easy to drive yourself mad in that like little private zone. And I'm not saying you shouldn't recycle or be careful, be spendthrift, and, you know, respect nature and don't use it up. But, you know, the earth is regenerative. Our economies can be regenerative. There's no reason the human race, has to call it quits in a hot minute. We can, you know, we can take care of our water and the land. We can not pollute. We can build a world that we can live in for a long time here. And part of, like, where we just start, like, the idea that commerce and development is like a kind of freedom and is a liberation. And, you know, we remember when money came out, it was great for you used to only be able to have money if you were a lord. And eventually you could have money if you were like just a, you know, working class. So the money started out as, a liberating force, eventually gets hijacked, you know. Mm-hmm. But we would like everyone to be rich in theory. You know, like, everyone should have access to, I think that's not in the interest of some people, though. Like, I think the super 1.001% would like it all for themselves. like Mr. Coke said, he got caught ripping off the Indians for like their oil rights, and he was like, I just want my share of it, which is all of it.
That's funny, yeah. Exactly. And I think I was exactly right there with the whole, you know, I have to sacrifice everything about my life, you know, to try to make, you know, and that by through the sacrifice, we're going to make the planet better. But actually, there is this abundance I've come around to see. But there is something to that if we could redistribute it, right? So that's where people get really tempted into wanting to control some kind of redistribution of wealth. You know, that's where I kind of started to believe the Bernie Sanders philosophy of socialism, which is a great philosophy, you know, if it was done fairly and not to control people.
Yeah, and you know, solidarity economies and like, you know, health, public healthcare system and the state doing good stuff, that is all well and good. And I think, you know, Bernie was really like pretty mild in terms of like where he was on the left. I'm just like, he's more like, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, back to the BRICS, like in terms of like the world peace, you know, world peace is available to us. Like we don't need to go fight with Russia. Russia's a nice big country. It's got plenty of wealth. There's no need. I think the desire for the English to make war on the Russian, like, we've really been tricked in this country to being like the sort of foot servant of the English Empire. Like, it's not good. We had a revolution against their control, and they kind of took us back over, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been fighting a lot of their wars and, like, stuff like taking, like, the whole Vietnam thing, like, picking up the colonial interests of the French. When was that our goal? Like, in that regard, like, Mr. Trump was right about the America first. Like, just let's do our country. Other countries do their country. There's a real internationalism about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's like, that's progressive. It's like, yeah, we don't want to be an empire. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's where I think they really trick us. Like, they really want us to trick us into thinking, like, America should be an empire. We should police the planet. We should be doing these wars all over the world. And a lot of countries don't want us. They really want us to leave the Middle East. We haven't been helping. You know, we're not, like, we've been propping up Israel all these years. And look what they take advantage of the strength we lend them to be so unkind to their neighbors. It's like, if they didn't have the big bully behind them, do you think they'd be doing that? Could they afford to? It's an American operation. It's really wrong and sad. I've just been heartbroken the last... I read a lot of news. I cannot believe what I've seen on Twitter. I've watched so many... I mean, and it's just been tough, honestly, to watch.
Right. I mean, now wars on top of the pandemic. It just seems like, you know, one doom and gloom thing after another.
Right.
But you keep fighting, Theo. So I only just met you a few weeks ago, but you've been in the thick of it with this People's Party. And so how are things going? What kind of irons do you have in the fire?
Well, you know, I would say I'm down to support Mr. Kennedy in the coming year. The medical health freedom thing, it continues. And that's about all the irons I can think of at the moment. I have some more I'll come back around to.
So who's been your inspiration along the way? Where did you grow up, and how did you come around to this way of thinking?
Yeah, I've just been at it for a while. I mean, I was inspired by some of the great leaders we've seen, like Mr. Gandhi and Mr. King, and, you know, people who've struggled to make the world better. You know, it's been fun to be involved. You know, like, I think it's important we pay attention. Like, I think when we pay attention to the news and watch the system and try and actively, like, make it better, we're not giving up. And the struggle is joint. You know, we can't be sure we're going to win. We can't be sure we're going to change anything, but it matters that we try. And I think we do make an influence. Like, that's a sort of just my dharma, you know, how do we struggle? And the world's obviously just filled with suffering, and the government is just so sick. We have to try and make it be better.
Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility, kind of, was the message I was given.
Maybe we'll take five and get some coffee and play a tune for us.
Yeah, and we'll come back and do a wrap up.
Yeah,
I do have I did find a good song for us. So I'll let you pick. I've got one about common sense, Thomas Paine's Common Sense.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I had to introduce it so people know what this is, but it's about and then we could do Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Okay.
As an outgoing anthem. All right, folks. Yeah. So we'll be back in just a moment. Let's see here.
You might know England, it was my home, but I be colony, that's me since 74. I love liberty, I love freedom. It's about time the colonies go on their own. And now with Lexington and Concord, people yearning to be free. They need that plain truth, that image when my pen drops. Ooh, so I'm publishing my pamphlet in a style that excessively argues that British oppression, it must stop. Government's alright when it's what we chose.
So, folks, this is Amy back here with the 5-8 show, and we're about to wrap up. But I've had a special guest here, Theo Talcott, who came here all the way from Manchester, Vermont, to be part of this free speech experiment called WMRW-LP in Warren at 94.5 FM. And I have a quote here that I just had to write down. I don't know if Theo made this up or if he was crediting someone else with it, but I love this. I'm going to take this away from today's show. If you have God inside your heart, you are not easy to push around. And I love that because I just find it so surprising. I was really happy to meet Theo because I feel like we have something in common here that that through this pandemic, I know my eyes have really been open to all of these things that I thought I disagreed with, right? Like having God in my heart. You would have never heard me say that, you know, before all of this. And that, you know, a lot of my friends that I found through this pandemic who have kept me going and really given me the support I needed were conservative Republicans, which was really interesting to look up and find them on the same side through this health freedom discussion. So I feel like these are issues that really are unifying us as people. And that's really, you know, what we need to all be doing here is finding common ground and things and rallying the troops and reminding us of our fundamental responsibilities, but our purpose. Hi, Theo.
Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah. So closing thoughts. I was reading my favorite quote of yours here now. You're quotable today.
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
Yeah, that if you have God in your heart, you're not easy to push around.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand by that one.
Yeah. So what about you?
Yeah, I mean, as a spiritual character, I think that that's an important part of what's available to us in life is that we're not like just machines inside some kind of a machine logic. There's a great light and life behind the world that's supporting everything and pushing things forward. So I encourage you to have a little faith and seek out a spiritual life and seek the Creator in prayer and there you go. I personally do a lot of yoga and meditation and I found some things there, but also you know, it overlaps largely with a Christian vision of like the Creator, and spent some time with Native American folks and been blessed to know how they pray, and there's a lot of beauty in that, especially the nature, what like the idea that the natural world is the creation and it's like all alive and it's all beautiful, it's all our relatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we close, we, you know, sometimes offer like a land acknowledgement. Here we are on the Abenaki land, you know, and people were here before us and they were all over the world, these civilizations. You know, once again, very oppressed by the colonial powers, the English Empire, which always wants to write everything off, you know, beautiful cultures all over the world. And they're still alive trying to defend themselves. We see some of the same themes in the Palestinians, very resilient, very beautiful people. Dignified, scholarly, and religious, and long-suffering. In many ways, they very much resemble the Jews in the 1880s when they started Zionism. Like they were oppressed, you know. So it's just a great irony. The brothers and sisters that are squabbling now, ginned up to fight each other by the states. But I think peace can come there, like. There was peace in the Holy Land for a long time. Muslims and Jews lived side by side there for years and years. The period of the Andalusia in Spain is really beautiful under Muslim rule. The Muslims are inherently interfaith. Like they, we protected the minor religions. So there's a period in Spain where everyone lived in peace for a long time. When the Christians came in, the Jews fled with the Muslims because they knew the Muslims would protect them. So they're all spread out through the coast of Africa from that. True religious people get along. I think it's the state that tries to co-opt religion on behalf of its own needs. So it's important to separate that. But yeah, I mean, I'm like also I've practiced Judaism in my life. I'm a spiritualist, and I've learned a lot from that tradition. So it's been really sort of painful to see what's happening now. But there's been a lot of like Jewish power in the street against the wars. Every protest I've been at has had Jewish people leading the charge in some regards, whether it's the Orthodox rabbis with their big hats. And there's like Jewish Voices for Peace have been active around here and at the protests. So, yeah, please do stand up for justice and end of the war and stand up for a ceasefire and a call to the end of the war over there that the U.S. is paying for and permitting.
Yeah.
Good times, bad times.
Yeah, that I think that's a common goal that that we can go out with today on our hearts.
Yeah, and I was, you know, we talked about the white pill. If you don't know what that reference is, like they say, it's like there's the movie The Matrix, and they say you take the red pill, and that's waking up in The Matrix. But the white pill is like don't give up hope. You know, people can if you take the black pill, it's basically be like, oh, it's just doom and gloom, give up. Don't do that. That's like the worst. The more if you can't pay attention to the news about wanting to give up and, you know, become a problematic
right, member of society. Yeah.
I mean, it's St. Patty's Day. I don't want to say, like, insult alcoholism as a way to tolerate the bad news. But, you know, good luck out there, y'all. it's hard to pay attention and not want to self-medicate into some regard. So you guys do you. I'm not saying. Mm-hmm. But whatever we do, we can't quit. You know, and so take the white pill, stay involved, and justice is coming. And even if it's not, the fight is important, and the fight is joined. And in terms of unifying, like, now's the time to unite left and right for our society to just get back on track. You know, it's not about Democratic versus Republican anymore. The system is really, like, unplugged, and the duopoly is so corrupt that we really need to start it over. So, Let's try and do that. Let's like not fight with your family members who are on the other side. Love each other. Try and be a healing force, and you know, like love each other. Love this country. Love each other, and even love the people who maybe mistreated us in the past during the lockdowns. Maybe they were tricked. You know, they just had a fancy job. You know, they were promised one thing and got another. It's never too late to leave the beast. You can walk away from Babylon at any time. You know, you can wake up now wherever you are. It, you know, there's nobody's stopping you. That's another piece of the Christian vision. God will welcome you back anytime. You don't have to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're
and
not
no
stuck.
Matter what.
Even at the last minute, if you like change your heart, just as you brought to be like, oh God, it was awful. Like, I'm so sorry, God. You know, better to do that than just to go across the gap without ever having said anything.
Right.
So, that's like another chunk of like the redemptive story of the world. It's possible. We can make it through. So let's do it.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing those words of inspiration. All right, Theo, my new friend.
This is Amy.
Awesome. Yeah.
Been nice talking to you all, and I hope you guys, good luck to you all.
Yeah, thank you. This is just what I had in mind, a white pill. I love that inspiration. So, folks, we are at the end of our time here. Betsy is outside for the Raggle Taggle show. She's ready to come in here with some awesome music to get us through the afternoon. I love listening to her show. I listen to it over and over and over again throughout the week. And you are listening to WMRWLP out of Warren, Vermont at 94.5 FM and streaming at WMRW.org. It's 4 o'clock, and the preceding show and the following show represent the opinions of its producers and participants. They do not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder Roots Work, to whom we are forever grateful. Have a great afternoon, folks.